Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 4 today on Through the Word. Calling all servants, prepare to receive your assignment. We are back in the desert with the Israelites as God continues to prepare his people for the great road trip ahead. And I am back in the desert in New Mexico, so I apologize for any road noise again as we continue our trek. And a quick thanks to our gracious hosts in Oklahoma, Chris and Kim, thank you so much. Now, the Israelites' road trip was a massive undertaking of order and organization, and the next step of preparation is making assignments for the men who will do the work of the tabernacle, the Levites. Moses counted them up in chapter 3, and he will assign them their tasks in chapter 4. And for the fourth chapter in a row, we're still not moving. Don't worry, we'll get there. If you learn one thing here, understand that God is big on preparation and big on organization. This is training ground for Israel, and training takes time, and preparation takes patience. We get fooled by movies where our hero learns kung fu or gets a college degree in just a few intense scenes and a song. They don't show all the real work because it's long and boring, kind of like this part of Numbers. But the hard work is essential, kind of like this part of Numbers. Don't make the mistake of skipping ahead to the exciting parts. That's a foolish way to read the Bible and a foolish way to live. Learn the lessons in the desert first. The lesson in Numbers 4 is about serving in God's house and about knowing your assignment. Let's start in at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take a census of the Kohathite branch of the Levites by their clans and families. Count all the men from 30 to 50 years of age who come to serve in the work in the tent of meeting." Now wait a second. I thought we just counted the Levites. I know we did. So why are we counting again? I can't take any more counting. Calm down. Try to breathe. In chapter 3, we counted the Levites to verify that God got an even trade for all the firstborn. So we counted every male from babies on up. Here in chapter 4, it's time to divvy up the tasks. So we're counting the workers, and the workers are 30 to 50 years old. Remember that the Levites are basically the road crew for tearing down the tabernacle, moving it from one place to another, and setting it up again. It was no small task. My buddy Stephen has worked road crew on major concert tours for years, and he's good. Very hardworking and very organized. Road crew has to be. Now the Levites are God's road crew. That was a serious assignment. Moses and Aaron were running the show, so God tells them to count the crew and assign the work. As you read this chapter, try to picture in your mind what it was like for these men to take the tabernacle down carefully, carry it, and set it all up again. And don't miss the first three words again. The Lord said. You may be tired of counting in preparation, but God is in charge of training this crew. And when he says count, we count. And we start the job assignments with the clan of Kohath in verse 4. This is the work of the Kohathites in the tent of meeting, the care of the most holy things. Now this is a big job. The Kohathites packed up and carried the seriously holy things. The ark, the golden lampstand, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the bronze altar. God was precise in his directions for constructing them, and he is precise in his directions for moving them. You don't mess with the holy things. Remember Raiders of the Lost Ark? The face melting was a little over the top, but the holiness of the ark was pretty accurate. But don't worry, there's no snakes, at least not yet. Now each of the articles was to be covered by the priests before the Kohathites could even come pick them up. And the coverings were precise. A quick read, and you might think it was all about colors, God's interior decorating for his house. But pay attention. Hebrews says that the entire tabernacle was a picture of heaven. It's like a scale model of God's house. So there's a lot of symbolism in everything, including the coverings. It's actually very cool if you dig a little. So let's take a look. The ark is first in verse 5, because the ark was the most holy. On top of the ark was the mercy seat, where God's presence came to dwell. It is a picture of God's throne in heaven. So the shielding curtain, or veil, was placed over the ark before anything else happened, because no one could approach God's throne without the blood of a sacrifice. The book of Hebrews explains that the veil represents the body of Christ, which is why it tore when he died. The only way to safely approach God's throne is with the covering sacrifice of Jesus' body. Now, each of the holy things had specific coverings, but there are two coverings that we find consistent on most of them. Read verse 11. Over the gold altar, they are to spread a blue cloth and cover that with the hides of sea cows and put its poles in place. So the two consistent coverings were a blue cloth and some type of hides. The NIV says hides of sea cows, which sounds awesome, but the truth is that translators aren't sure what the animal is. Some say badger skins. In any case, it's some type of skins, so think leathery. But what does it mean? For the cloth, blue in the Bible represents heaven, like the sky. Almost everything is covered in blue, because it's all a picture of heaven, God's dwelling place. As for the badger skins, this was the outside covering that everyone would see. Less colorful, rather plain even. Remember that the tabernacle was also a picture of Jesus, God dwelling among men in human skin. When Jesus came walking by, he looked like a regular old skin like anyone else. But that outer covering disguised something heavenly on the inside. So the ark had the veil, then the blue cloth, then skins. In verse 7, the table of presents, or table of showbread, represented communion with God, sharing bread together. Jesus is our bread of life and our communion with God. The coverings were blue cloth, then scarlet cloth, representing blood, then the skins. It's a great picture of our communion table, the scarlet for Jesus' blood and the skins for his body. Verse 9 is the lampstand, as Jesus is the light of the world. Again, blue cloth and skins. Verse 11 is the incense altar, picturing Jesus, our intercessor who prays for us. Blue cloth, then skins. Then we find one item covered differently, the bronze altar. Verse 13. They are to remove the ashes from the bronze altar and spread a purple cloth over it. Verse 14 says that hides still cover it, but why the purple instead of blue? Purple represents royalty, color for a king. The bronze altar was the place of sacrifice and judgment of sins, a picture of the cross. The cross was on earth, not heaven, so no blue. And for what crime was Jesus crucified? It was posted above his head, King of the Jews. They wrapped him in a purple robe and mocked him as a king, wrapped in purple, just like the altar. Jesus is King of Kings, covered in human skin. Amazing love, how can it be that my king would die for me? The chapter goes on to cover the work of the other two clans, the Girgashites and the Merarites. One clan to carry all of the fabric walls, and one clan to carry all of the frames that held them up. We don't have time for details now, but as you read, watch for a couple of keys. First, notice the importance of a supervisor. Teamwork requires leadership, so God assigned the priests to lead. Also notice in verse 32 that every man had a specific assignment. Clear delegation was key. And notice for the fourth time in a row how the chapter ends, with obedience. It starts with the Lord said it, and it ends with the people did it, just as the Lord commanded Moses.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.